Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We find ourselves on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, that's 24a. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are at the Mishnah that is about two-thirds of the way down on Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17 lines from the bottom. And we're continuing a discussion of halachot related to Torah reading. So here's what the Mishnah says. Hamaftir b'navi, the one who reads the Haftorah, who pores al shema, he is the one that should be poresh al shema, v'hu over lifnei teva, and he should pass before the ark, v'hu nosei kapav, and he should dochen. Now, there are a number of problems with this. First of all, the saying the Haftorah of the Navi happens after Shema, and after Shmona Esrei. So it really should say it the other way. It should say the one who's poresh on Shema and the one who is the Shliach Tzibor, who leads the congregation, he is Maftir Benavi. It seems out of order. Second of all, it seems to indicate that he could duchen, but that would only be true if he was a Kohen. So a little hard to understand that. The commentaries basically say that what we're referring to here is someone who is given the job of doing the Haftarah all the time. So if he's regularly supposed to do the Haftarah, and it appears like doing the Haftarah is not an honorable job. It's a job that was considered to be a duty more than an honor. So since we gave him the duty of doing the Haftarah all the time, we want to give him some kind of compensation, so we allow him to be Poreis al Shema, that is to say, to daven Shacharit. You know, we said earlier that it was Kaddish and Barchu and the blessings of the Shema, and Over Lifnei Ateva would be to daven Shmona Esrei and repeat the Shmona Esrei, that these things are kind of like compensations for having to do the Haftorah. I don't know if it's viewed that way in nowadays. It seems like it's as much an honor as anything else. The truth is that I thought that leading the congregation is a shibud. It's a job to be the shliach tzibur, not an honorific. Getting called up to the Torah may be an honor, although really you should be giving the honor to the Torah. But leading the congregation is more of an obligation. In any case, I guess there are different levels of obligation, and the Haftorah was considered a lower level of obligation, perhaps because it's not really reading the Torah, it's reading the prophets, and it's on a lower level. Okay, v'im haya katan, continues the Mishnah, if he is a minor, and he reads the Haftorah, which seems to indicate from the Mishnah that even if you're not yet bar mitzvah, you can do the Haftorah, aviv o rabo ovrin al yado, so then his father or his Rebbe can be the one on his behalf who then is Over Lifnei Ateva, is the one who leads the congregation in prayer, because he cannot do that as a minor. Then the Mishnah continues on with the rules of Ketanim, of minors. Katan kore batorah umetargim. A minor who's not yet bar mitzvah can read in the Torah and can translate. Aval eino poreis al shema, but he is not allowed to say Chati Kaddish, Baruch Hu, and the brachos of Shema. Ve'eino over lifnei ateva, and he's not allowed to lead the congregation in Shmona Esrei and the repetition of the Amidah. Ve'eino nosei kapav, and if he's a Kohen, he's not allowed to duchen until he is older. It's a little surprising to see here that it says a katan can read in the Torah. There are places where this is done, but it seemed like the big thing about becoming a bar mitzvah is to be able to read in the Torah. So that is a halachic discussion for another time. Our Mishnah continues with the case of a pocheach, which is not a katan, but the Gemara will discuss later if he's a katan and a pocheach. There is some dispute about what a pocheach is. Rashi says that pocheach is someone who is partially naked. And he says it's because you can see his legs, and he's barefoot. He says both. So the barefoot, I'm not sure I understand it, but basically, if you ever had this in camp where they didn't want to let you daven when you were wearing shorts, it would be based on this Mishnah, that if your legs are showing, it is not proper respect to lead the congregation. So So it says here, it splits it. Pocheach, even if your legs are showing, pores et shema, you can still daven for the amid, you can still say Kaddish and Barchu, umetargim, and you can be the one who translates the Torah, aval eno kori bator, but you can't lane if you're wearing shorts. Ve'eno over lifnei ateva, and you cannot be the one who leads the congregation in Shemona Esrei. Ve'eno noseya kapav, and you can't dochen. So that's how Rashi says it. The Tosfos points out, and the Rif and the Ran point out, that another interpretation of Pocheach is someone who's wearing ripped clothing. And it could be that it's because wearing ripped clothing is not respectful. If you're wearing torn or worn, very torn clothing, that it's not respectful to stand in front of Hashem that way. Or it could be, which is the way the Ran says it, it sounds like his clothing is so torn that his flesh is visible. So similar to the way the Rashi explained it, that when he's wearing shorts, you can see his legs. Here, you can see his skin or parts of his body through his torn clothing. Okay, finally, our Mishnah brings the last case. Suma, a blind person, Pores et Shema, can lead the congregation in Kaddish, Baruch Hu, and the blessings of the Shema, Umetargim, and can be the translator of the Torah. Now, it doesn't say specifically that they can't lead, that they can't duchen, or that they can't pass before the Teva, so that it's an open question as to whether or not that is allowed based on the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol shelo ra'a me'orot mi'amav, anyone who has never seen the stars, Eino Pores al Shema, may not lead the congregation at all. So Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes between people who once were seeing and then became blind and those who were congenitally blind and says that they may not read at all. Tosfos has a long discussion about how it is that a blind person could lead the congregation, considering we have a teaching in another Masechta that Suma is Pater Mikol HaMitzvot, and the Suma is absolved from doing all the mitzvot. And he makes a distinction here because this is a drabanan, that it may be allowed, and he compares blind people to women, that women are patur from mitzvot even that are midrabanan, whereas a blind person is patur from mitzvot only midoraita, only from the Torah. And so when you have situations where it is midrabanan, it could be that they are not patur from all of the rabbinic mitzvot. Okay, let's continue on in the Gemara. 2, 4, 6, 7 lines from the bottom. My taima, that's the abbreviation there. Memtet is my taima. What is the reason why we want to allow the person, or why we specifically indicate that the person who does the maftir should also be poris al shema? Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa says it's mishum kavod. You're giving him kavod. And that's Rashi says here that since doing something that is not such a big kavod, like doing the maftir, so now we give him something that is more kavodic to do. Rabbi Bar Shimi Omer, Mishum da'ati li insuye, because you're going to cause fights. So if we set up a rule that the person who does the maftir also leads the davening, then there won't be fighting about who is supposed to lead the davening. My bainayhu, what's the difference between, what's the nafkamina between these two opinions about what the reason is? Ike bainayhu da'avid b'chinam. The difference between them is if you're doing it for free. Now, it seemed like, apparently, davening was something that people got paid for. Not just as, let's say, a permanent chazin, but I guess if you fulfilled the function, you could get money for being the guy who did maftir, or being the guy who was poris al shema, you could get money for it. So if you're doing it for free, then you're not going to fight about it, because that's what would cause people to fight. They would say, I wanted to daven, or you're basically taking away my income if you get to daven. So people might come to fight about it because they wanted the money. But if you're doing it for free, then you don't have to worry about that fighting. It's just a question of whether or not you want to give the guy a special kavod, because since he did the maftir, which was not such a high kavod thing, then we give him something else that's for kavod. So that would be the difference between them. Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah, v'im haya katan avivo rabo ovrin al yado. This is a question on the previous. If he's a minor, his father or his rebbe should get the honor instead of him. I amart mishum insuye. If you're going to say that the reason is because people might fight, katan bar nitsuyehu, is a katan going to be the one who's fighting? You're going to fight with a katan? A minor also isn't in charge of his own money. So why would there be fighting about it? Elamai, but what? Mishum kavod, so maybe it's because of honor. katan bar kavod hu, but it's the katan, somebody who has honor, you know, presumably a young boy. Maybe they lived in a time when there was a less when children were not treated as nicely. Katan doesn't have any kavod. He should always be deferring and respectful to his elders. Ela ika kavod aviv kavod rabo. But rather, you could say there is kavod of his father and his rebbe. So even though he's not the one that needs kavod, he doesn't need to be shown kavod that he did the maftir, and so now he should be given something for kavod. But since you're giving it to his father or his rebbe, so it gives them the kavod instead. We flip the page, chavdalet amud bet, just to finish this line. Hachanami, says the Gemara, but the truth is the same rule would apply here too, ika nitsuye. With the same question that you said, does a katan going to be the one who's fighting? Aviv, hachinami ika nitsuye aviv unitsuye rabo. Here too, you could have his father and his rebbe. Meaning, even if the katan is doing the maftir and getting paid for it, that money is going to go, I guess, to his father, to his rebbe. So if they were then going to fight about who should lead the davening, even if the katan wouldn't get into a fight about it, maybe his father or his rebbe would get into a fight about it. So either rule would apply to the situation of a katan. Okay, we'll stop there. Have a wonderful day.